We're having a wonderful feast here and enjoying ourselves. We hope that you've enjoyed the shows that we've brought to you so far, and we hope that you'll enjoy this one this evening as well. Jim, say hi to everybody.
Hello. Praise Yahweh to all those that are listening. It's good to be on here tonight, and it's good to be at this most magnificent Feast of Yahweh's, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Trumpets.
Exactly. I don't think there's any time that's any more enjoyable than the Feast of Trumpets or Tabernacles, because it's meant to be an absolute joyous time. I know Passover is a little bit more solemn because we're keeping the Passover, and we're meant to remember righteous Abel and his death by the hand of Cain, and we're also to remember our Messiah, Yahushua, and his ultimate sacrifice to us, the same as Abel did. And so Passover is just not as joyous, I think. It's a little bit more solemn, a little bit more reverence, but not just a whole lot. We always have fun.
We sure do.
And then, of course, Pentecost is an excellent time. It's kind of short, but we always have a good time there as well in the middle of the summer. Jim, you want to talk to everybody about tonight's subject?
Yes, we thought maybe we'd continue on with the subject they've had on this all this week with Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack and Pastor Buddy and Brother Robert and my gosh, I don't know who all's been on here. But the subject was on Nibiru and I guess the state of affairs somewhat in the world, in the United States, and we thought maybe we'd continue on with that a little bit and maybe bring a little scripture in. Into
exactly.
The subject matter here, and see if maybe we can enlighten a few. You know, this is this Feast of Tabernacles, the time of the ingathering, has become a real eye-opener this time. I mean, there's been some wonderful things happening, and I know there's going to be some tremendous things happening due to the attendance and the assemblies that's gotten together here and worshipped our Creator, Yahweh, whom we most dearly love and who loves us. And so we thought maybe we'd just continue on, though, with this Nibiru subject for a while.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start out here with a little bit of scripture. And probably not all of the listeners have a Book of Enoch. And so I'm going to give you a little reference here out of what I'm reading out of, just so that nobody gets upset with us. This is a 1988 edition from Hoffman Printing Company, P.O. Box 1529, Muskogee, Oklahoma, 74402, artisanpublishers.com. And it's the Book of Enoch, or One Enoch. And then, of course, this is edited by R.H. Charles D. Litt, which is, he's a British doctor, I guess, of theology. And he retrieved, the way I understand it, this Ethiopic text of the Book of Enoch. And so, anyways, I just wanted to give credit where credit was due. And I want to take you to the, say it's the 10th chapter of the Book of Enoch, and the 4th verse. And it says, and again, Yahweh said unto Raphael, one of the most powerful angels, bind Azazel, one of the fallen ones, who actually took the rap for the whole 200. If you've read the Book of Enoch, there's 200 fallen angels involved here. And he made a pact with all of them not to take the full rap, that they would all be responsible for their decision to be fallen ones and to take up with the daughters of Israel, the daughters of man, and to interbreed. But he says, bind Azazel hand and foot. Now, this is Yahweh saying this, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is Duadel, and cast him therein. Now, we've talked about in the past, I know Buddy has, about the chaining to the deep of Satan and the fallen ones. And the deep, Buddy has spoken on many times as Nibiru. And so I think Jim has some information that we were going to bat around here on Nibiru.
Yes. Isn't it interesting? We've been taught all these years in the Judeo-Christian churches that they'd be cast into a lake of fire or hell and burn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we've got Enoch writings, and he's saying that it's going to be an abyss, a deep,
right,
a deep dark area, which
true.
Would make sense to me. If you are a light being, which
mm-hmm.
we are, what would be the most devastating thing to happen to you is to be
right.
cast into an area of total darkness.
Right, totally alone, and there until the end time, where Yahweh would burn you to death.
Yes. So, you know, we, again, misled
mm-hmm.
by religion, which has been the biggest downfall of our people. Now, you've got... there are other religions or other belief patterns out there that also tell us the same thing, that religion is actually pagan.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember reading in history about the Scots and their beliefs, and they had the Druids and so on and so forth, and in come the Catholic Church
mm-hmm.
and told them, well, look, you guys are doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got the truth. And right behind the Catholic Church, Satan brings in the Protestants. Now, they're both Christianity,
mm-hmm.
no matter whether we want to call them that or not, but they are both Christianity. And so in the writings of the Scots, they said that until that time, they were mighty, mighty people, undefeatable. All kinds of blessings befell them as they worshiped to the Creator in the correct way,
mm-hmm.
and then in comes Christianity, and they lost everything.
Right.
And, of course, we know this to be true. Now, you know, you got this Nibiru, or this planet X coming, or the 10th planet, and some say the 9th, and so on and so forth.
Right.
In which case, I truly believe is where Satan was cast, and
mm-hmm.
is held, bound there, which it says he would be for a period of time.
And until the end time.
Until the end time. Then he would be coming back. Well, you know, in the book of Revelations, in chapter 7, in the third verse, actually, we'll start in the second verse, it says, and I, John the Revelator, saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now, if we're going to be raptured out of this mess before this happens, why even bother writing that?
Right. Well, you know what the definition of rapture is, the real definition of rapture, and that is a completely evil, unsettling end, a destruction. And so we see the rapture, or at least I do. Jim, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but we see the rapture as a complete and total unsettling, violent end to those who are not, they don't have the name of Yahweh in their forehead.
That is correct. In fact, in the very next verse, in verse 3 of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, it says, he turns to the angel and says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that this evil 666, this mark of the beast thing, that was going to be written in the forehead. Anything stamped in the forehead or written up there or however they believe out there now,
right,
is all evil. Well, here we've got Yahweh saying, well, let's not touch any of this stuff until my servants have been sealed in the forehead.
Right.
Well, what is that sealing?
Right.
You know, that's a good question, because here you got the great whore of Babylon, whom we know to be the Catholic Church, having the seal of the name of blasphemy in her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what in the world would that be? Now, here we got two seals going on. Now, one's good, one's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And in our object here, I believe, for us, is to find out which one is which.
Right.
Well, it's quite apparent that the whore has a seal of blasphemy, and this being Catholicism of the Catholic Church, approximately, I'm not real good, I can't remember the exact date, but approximately 400 years ago, the Catholic Church brought to us a name never before used upon the face of the earth. And I believe it was in 1611.
Right.
And that name was the name of Jesus.
Yeah, just to clarify a little bit, 1611 was when they began using the name or curlicuing the bottom of the I and creating a J. 1613 was when they were actually using it or implementing it into text that was written. And that's clarified in the AIT by many people went in together on the AIT, but Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comperet go into detail in that text. So if you haven't checked out the AIT with the Kingdom Identity, they go into an expansive detail on the use of the J in the modern English language.
And Brother Rick, wasn't it in 1702 before the letter J was ever used in the English language?
Right.
And having never before been used. So we've got a name that's, a little over 300 years old?
Right.
As well, if it's only 300 years old, then what did Apostle Paul and Peter, James and John and all, what did they call him? Well, obviously, they didn't call him Jesus because that was never there. So what
right.
the world did they call him?
Right. Well, we have to go back to the scripture where he says, where they took up stones to stone him, and they called him Beelzebub. But what can you imagine that he called himself for them to say that he was Beelzebub?
Well, if I remember correctly, he asked him a question. He said, well, why do you stone me? Is it for the good works that I have done? And he said, no, it's because you think to call yourself God, or Yahweh.
Yahweh.
So, and it's quite true, if you are to come in that name anywhere in the world, in the earth, you go into any church that you like, and you come in the name of Yahweh, you are in deep trouble.
That's right,
because of the people not accept that.
Satan begins to work against you just as soon as you bring that up. As soon as you make your elections known to anyone, and it comes into consciousness, Satan will begin to work against you, and it will just begin to tumble all around you, or seem that way. And then you understand, you begin to understand that you're a child of Yahweh, and you begin to understand that the name is the only thing, because anything, especially Satan, working that hard against you, you know you've got something right.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, as we look on farther in the book of Revelations, when you go over to chapter 9, you have a second witness to chapter 7. And in the fourth verse, it says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh in their forehead. So anybody who doesn't have that seal of Yahweh in their forehead, I would say, is in deep doo-doo at this point.
Right.
Now, I bring all that up even though it appears that it's not our subject matter, Nibiru here, but I bring that up to take you back to Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is important. I know, Eric, Brother Eric, that you have heard countless sermons and prophecies, especially from the Prophecy Club, on Matthew 24 and the end times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they even made a song concerning it.
Right.
And the thing that always gets overlooked in my mind is in chapter 24, in that third verse, you've got the disciples sitting here with Yahweh himself. And they ask him a question. And they say, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? Now, they had no idea. They didn't have a clue. So they asked him a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we turn it into questions. Because we turn that singular word, signs, into signs.
Mm-hmm. And then we make a movie about it with Mel Gibson.
That's right. And here all this time, it was a singular question, and he answered it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't answer it right away. I mean, did he not tell us that he'd done these things in parables?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say that he didn't want coming around and hanging out in the kingdom. Let's say repent and come in. You go on over to verse 14 in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, and it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now here, we've heard how many gospels you are. You know, I hate to admit it, but I'm 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Been in church, you know, most of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard more gospels about this Bible and the kingdom than you can probably shake a stick at,
mm-hmm.
and not a one of them ever true.
Right.
Well, the gospel, he says, that shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations. Well, what is that gospel? That's really the biggest question that needs to be answered. You know, what is that gospel? And the gospel is, in my opinion, in my belief, is two parts. Part one is the name. Obviously, the name's got to be important, because back in Revelation, he says, if they have not his name sealed in their forehead, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have to be the first part.
Yeah.
Once you get the name, then you have a second part to it. And that part is, well, we'll actually say there's three parts. The second part is being baptized in that name. Because it wasn't that the commandment, to be baptized in the name?
That's right. Not the names, but the name.
The name.
Yeah, so it's singular. Yeah.
And, of course, I don't know how many times you've been baptized, Brother Eric, but I've been baptized, I believe, a grand total of four times.
Well,
the first three, never got it right. I struck out.
You were always baptized in the names.
That's right. And, you know, it was pretty cunning about it.
Because
mm-hmm. they'd say, well, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they never, ever gave me the name.
Yeah.
So the name is very important, to be baptized in that name. And that's the second part. But the third part, I think, then becomes very, very important, because it takes you into verse 15 of this same chapter 24, Matthew. And that third part is, when is the true Sabbath? So in essence, what he said in verse 14 is, there's going to come a people
mm-hmm.
upon the earth in the end time who will bring and have my name. And they will fill themselves by being baptized in my name, and then they will turn the entire world upside down, because they will say, this is the Sabbath.
Right.
And you Saturday Sabbath keepers and you Sunday Sabbath keepers
and Friday,
mm-hmm. and I think there's some Wednesday ones out there.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday night prayer meeting.
You've got a problem. Now, how do we know this? Well, the very next verse, verse 15, kind of gives us a hint. It says, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet,
mm-hmm.
stand in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand, and then let them which be in Judea flee in the mountains. What was it Daniel prophesied. Well, I know that you know that. That's right. He said they will think to change laws
and times.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? Well, just change the calendar.
That's right.
You change the calendar, you change the time.
Yep.
You change the seasons.
Feed them dumb sheep what you want them to know.
And when you change the seasons, which are regulated not by the sun,
mm-hmm.
and not by the farmer's almanac, they're regulated by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it on us, gave us an incorrect calendar, and off we go. So he says that when those two things happen, then the end shall come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had Y2K in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever brought me the Sabbath, the true Sabbath. Mm-hmm. They brought me the name, but they never offered to baptize me in it.
Mm-hmm. Until after.
And there was then many other events going on, and we've heard the crying of wolf, you know, mm-hmm. through all those. But Yahweh is very specific. The question was asked, what shall be the sign?
Right.
He gave it to him. Just because we overlooked it, misread it, brought up our old dogmatic religious doctrines that's been conditioned and programmed into us. We hadn't got a clue what was going on. I mean, we come up with, well, there's going to be earthquakes. There's always been earthquakes on this earth.
Yeah.
There's going to be hurricanes, tornadoes, all these things that's going to happen they've happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wars and rumors of wars.
Yeah.
When I was in the service, it was right after Vietnam, and I believe at the time they told us that there was 126 wars going on at the time. And I thought, yep, boy, the end time's coming. It's got to be right around the corner. Well, it didn't happen. And I've been told, well, the end time would come, he says, when this generation passed before they see my coming. And of course, the Jews, being God's chosen people, they believe, you know, became a nation in 1948. Hell, they did. The nation or country has to be self-supporting.
Right.
The economy has to support the people. They have to be able to feed them, not rely upon another nation to do that. Yeah. And here we have an area. In fact, if I remember my history correctly, when NATO got together, they wanted to call it Zion and call them Zionists. And they said, oh, no, Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that country came into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not self-supporting. If the United States withdrew their 10 million plus that goes over there, and some of the other countries withdraw theirs, Germany, for instance, I mean, it's just about catching us and funds going over there,
mm-hmm.
the place would dry up
right.
and blow away. So here we got Nibiru coming.
Mm-hmm.
And this gospel of the kingdom is obviously going up. Pastor Buddy has been on here for 2 years now, I believe, bringing the gospel of the kingdom throughout the entire earth.
Right.
He brought us the name. He brought the baptism. And, boy, we definitely baptized. Well, I believe our time is up, eh?
Yeah, we're going to have to continue this after the break. So y'all hang on, and we'll be right back. And let him abide there forever, and cover his face that he may not see light. And on the day of the great judgment, he shall be cast into the fire. So, we kind of paraphrased it earlier, but that's scripture verbatim. And then in verse 7 it says, and heal the earth which the angels have corrupted, and proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and that all the children of men may not perish through all the secret things that the watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons. This book is very interesting. If you haven't gotten into angelology and the things that concern the angels, the Book of Enoch is a very good read. If you haven't looked at that, and I gave the references last half on this. And so anyways, Pastor Jim, see if you can expound on that.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job there, Brother Eric. I'm sorry, we're going to let you go on with it. Well, I guess the subject matter is supposed to be Nibiru. Now, we did get off us a little bit on it, but kind of wanted to present a little setting to go in it. Now, you know, here we got Nibiru coming, when is it, May, June, approximately 2003.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've got the Israelis basically actually going after the Palestinians,
right,
trying to, it looks like, take over their country. And, you know, I know that there's an awful lot of things going on, an awful lot of reasons and different things, but one of the things to look at is you've got a so-called temple over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're told it's the Temple of Solomon, which is not true. I mean, anybody who has studied any kind of history that would know that Solomon's temple really is rather close to Tel Aviv,
mm-hmm,
and not Jerusalem. So the temple they're trying to resurrect, or appears to me they're trying to resurrect, is Herod's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here in this country and in the other European countries, you've got the churches teaching that this person, Jesus, is going to come back and he's going to sit in the temple, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the biggest problem with that is they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, they got here too late. The 1,000-year period is almost over.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that he's going to reign on earth. At least I haven't been able to find that.
It says he'll walk the earth.
Yes.
But that's they're talking about Yahweh.
That's right.
And so we assume that he's coming as Yahweh Shua. But maybe just Yahweh, you know, without flesh body.
Yeah.
So who are we to judge here? Anyways, I just wanted to clarify there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to come in his name.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine you showing up in the name of Gary or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I look and say, what in the world is wrong with you? Who are you then? Hey, you've been lying to me all this time.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to show up in the name of Yahweh. Now, my particular belief, I believe that, Jesus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to sit in that temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do all kinds of wonderful things. He's going to get rid of sicknesses. He's going to get rid of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring peace and love upon the earth. He's going to be able to fix and mend all the problems that we got going on.
Right.
Maybe even the problem with what Nibiru does,
mm-hmm,
when it passes by. But
now,
who is that?
Right. And when is that? That's the key here. Which one is it going to be? Is it going to be the first one? Because we got scripture on that. If you found that, Jim, because the first one is the deceiver.
That's right.
And then the second one will be Yahweh, and he's just coming to clean up. He's not going to worry about sitting in a temple and doing wondrous things and trying to prove who he is. He's going to come in here and clean up.
That's right. Yeah, he's not looking for some building that's built out of brick or stone or marble, whatever it is they're going to build this thing out of,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, or re-erect it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of many of Satan's lies is that he or his people, the people that he's got convinced, those that teach us, preachers, for instance, that teach us that our Messiah, Yahweh Shua, is nothing but peace and love.
Mm-hmm.
And that Satan is nothing but hate, war, all these things. Well, you know, as I search the scriptures out, I find that Isaiah obviously wasn't lying to us when he said in that day, those things that they call truth will be a lie. And one of those things is this, that Satan is the one who cries, peace, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh said, I am a God of war.
That's right.
And he also said, think not that I come to bring peace,
mm-hmm.
but a sword. So here we got 180 degrees out. So yes, I believe that this man coming, or this created being coming to the earth first, will probably call himself Jesus for all Christianity to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good possibility.
Yep.
And which will deceive many. And that's what it says. When you go back and you study the book of Revelations, I believe there's the scripture says that there was three unclean spirits like frogs.
Mm-hmm.
Now it described them. One of them was a dragon. And the second one was a beast. But the beast got his power from the dragon. And this same beast that they're talking about is what the whole world wandered after.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the problem, and the whole earth, the whole world wonders after, then we need to identify who that is, you know, before a person goes any farther in their beliefs. Because if you don't, you're going to wonder after the same darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that beast is Christianity. And who gives it this power? The dragon.
The dragon.
And the dragon is represented by who? Satan.
Satan.
That great dragon, that serpent.
Satania.
And from him comes Cain, and from Cain comes Judeo-Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Jew-Christians. I don't know how else you want to say it. They don't say Christian Judeos.
No.
They call themselves Judeo-Christians.
Exactly.
So who is giving Christianity the power? And the whole world wonders after it. Who writes all the material?
Mm-hmm.
Who prints all the books? Who prints all the sermons, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there you got it. Yeah. yeah. Now the third one, of course, just to finish that up real quick, Brother Eric, and then I'm going to let you go on there with Enoch.
Okay.
The third one, then, of course, is the prophet.
Right.
That's the third one. Well, who has the prophet in
right.
their belief patterns, in their doctrines of men
mm-hmm.
or man? And, of course, that is the Islamic, or, of course, some will say Muhammad. And
mm-hmm.
But it's all, you know, it's kind of like saying, well, the Protestants are Christians and the Catholics are Catholics. Well, the Catholics are Christians also, and Protestants came out of the Catholic Church. Well, Muhammad beliefs and some of those came out of Islamic beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we've identified the three evil spirits that were like frogs. We've identified the three sixes. Anyway, go ahead there with Enoch there, Brother. I know you
okay.
have more.
Well, I just flipped over here. I want to expand just a little bit on the balance of Yahweh. Yahweh is he is a unity. We have to be the unity to be like Yahweh, to achieve the perfection that he is. And so through this unity, you have to understand that there is a balance of things. And the balance is of emotion as much as it is anything else. And so for Yahweh to be all love and nothing else is a complete fallacy.
Yeah.
Yahweh would have to have some anger, and he does, and he would have to have contempt and many of the negative things as well as the positive things, love, affection, sadness, sorrow, guilt, many different things go into all of this. And so he is everything and all in one. And so to understand this, we can go back to the book of Enoch, first book of Enoch, chapter 14, and verse 20. I'm having a hard time getting right back in here. Looks like 15. And it says, and he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice. Now he's talking about, this is Enoch talking, and he's listening to Yahweh. He's in the holiest of holies. He's in a crystalline palace. The fire is burning all around him. There's cherubims of fire. And Yahweh, the holiest of holies, is dwelling there in pure fire. It's such a sight, and there is such power that he cannot even lift his head. The angels have to carry
wow.
him to the throne and set him there at the throne so that he can hear the words of Yahweh. And Yahweh says, "Fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness, approach hither and hear my voice. And go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them." Now this is Enoch interceding. These are watchers, not watchers, but the fallen ones, the 200 fallen ones, fallen angels, and they are asking Enoch to go to the holiest of holies, the Almighty Yahweh, and intercede for them, and offer prayers for them, and ask for forgiveness from Yahweh for the things that he has asked them, for the things that they have done. To commit abominations against man. Now, this is where the Nakash come into play, and for you to understand this, you'd have to really study the Book of Enoch, and we don't have enough time for that tonight. But anyways, because of the Nakash, the mixed breeds, the half-human, half-angel entities that were created, the giants upon the earth. These curses and these judgments come from Yahweh. And he goes on to say, "And go say to the watchers of heaven," these are the fallen ones, "who have sent thee to intercede for them, you should intercede for men and not men for you." So he's telling these angels, you bunch of angels, you are so juvenile. You should be the ones talking for the men instead of the men talking for you. Coming to me, the holiest of holies, and bringing your information to me and talking to me about being forgiven. That really hits home for me. If that shouldn't tell everybody on here, Pastor Buddy talks about altar keeping. If that shouldn't tell you about keeping the altar and going at the appointed times, now the Book of Enoch talks about that too a lot. You can get a lot of this directly from the Bible, but these books that the Catholic Church has thrown out, and we've talked about the Catholic Church already, and other churches beyond that, they all shun this kind of text, and the text that talks about this in the regular Bible, even they even seek to change the Bible nowadays. But Yahweh is sitting here saying, "You bunch of sorry angels, fallen ones, you should not be sending a man up here, a lowly man, a scribe." Who eventually was a patriarch to Yahweh, you should not be sending him up here doing your business. That's a bunch of bull, and you need to grow up. And so here's what he says he's going to do. "Wherefore have ye left the high, holy, and eternal heaven, and lain with women, and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken to yourselves wives, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons? And though you were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten children with the blood of flesh, and as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also do who die and perish. Therefore have I given them wives also, that they might impregnate them and beget children by them, that thus nothing might be wanting to them on earth. But you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life and immortal for all generations of the world, and therefore I have not appointed wives for you. For as for the spiritual ones of the heaven, in heaven is their dwelling. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling." Now he's talking about Nakash here. Later on, the Israelites hunt these down and kill them into extinction by the order of Yahweh. "And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men, and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. they shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth, on the earth shall their shall be their dwelling. So what he's saying is, that is of dust should stay of dust, and that is of heaven should stay of heaven. And there should not be any intermingling of which. And it goes on in the 11th verse, and the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst and cause offenses. These guys were eating everything up that the men of earth had, and they were destroying everything. They were eating people. They were drinking blood. It was terrible carnage, and thus brought on the flood. And so this is kind of a precursor to the flood. It kind of gives you an interesting aspect and information that we're not privy to in the regular Bible, that gives you information about why the flood was brought upon and wrought upon the earth. It was to get rid of an infestation of something that shouldn't have been here in the first place. So anyways, we go on here in the 16th chapter, from the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits have gone forth, shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of consummation, the great judgment in which the age shall be consummated over the watchers and godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. And now as to the watchers who have sent thee to intercede for them, who have been aforetime in heaven, say to them, now this is Yahweh saying to Enoch to tell the watchers, the fallen ones, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you, and you knew worthless ones, and these in the hardness of your hearts. You have made known to the women, and through these mysteries women and men work much evil on earth. Say to them, therefore, you have no peace. Okay, now does that sound like a loving God? Yes, he loved the ones that he created. And he's punishing them here for their transgressions, for their abomination. He's punishing them because he has to. There has to be an order to things. And so Yahweh gives us those things. I'm just going to taunt you with that bit of Enoch. You really need to look into these extra books because they give you a more well-rounded knowledge of the Scripture. So, Jim, see if you can bring us something from the Bible itself on that and expound on that a little bit.
Well, it's interesting. It's almost... what Enoch is writing there and talking about and showing the experiences he had is precursor to Genesis 6. And another place that you can read about some of the problems that happened upon the earth prior to the flood is in Ezekiel 31. But every time I hear this Ezekiel speaking here in his writings, I think of Genesis 6, which, you know, as we know, the whole thing is so chronological out of order that it's no wonder we do get confused. But I really enjoy what you was reading. I mean, just to recap it, here it's amazing. Here you have angels who know the Sabbath. They know how the altar works. They know how to ask for repentance. They know all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they go to a man and say, well, look, we don't really want to humble ourselves before Yahweh and say, look, we made a mistake. Can you forgive us? You know, what do we got to do to make this up? Now, they're not about to do that. So they send up Enoch and they say, look, you do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And off goes this poor Enoch. I mean, here he is. He's scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
He can't even stand up. They gotta basically carry him in to stand before the great throne of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. He can't even lift his head.
And then he has to ask in place of these angels. And I imagine that he was probably so shook up, he probably stammered a whole lot. We want to imagine. But here he is asking, and then, what did that do? Well, that just upset Yahweh. Not at Enoch, but that these fallen angels had the audacity to send some little man up here when they have all of the knowledge and all of the truth on how the procedure works.
Mm-hmm.
First off, they knew not to do it. They did it anyway.
Yes.
And then secondly, they knew how to do it, to repent of it, and refused to humble themselves and sent poor Enoch up there.
That's right. So I guess we're running out of time here, and we need to turn this over to Gary because he needs to talk about Miracle 2. But we'll leave you with this. All of these fallen ones, these 200, they're chained to the deep, to Nibiru. And so the first one that comes, you'll know who he is. You'll know what they're all about. And you'll know why they're here. And then when Yahweh comes, he's just coming to clean up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's not going to be any crying or whining. There's not going to be any of that. It's just going to be total death and destruction to those who are not of Yahweh. And so this 200-mile-an-hour winds and the earth spinning 90 degrees in a split second and total destruction, that kind of thing can happen. And we think that it will happen in the end times. Whether Nibiru comes this May or not, who knows. But there's nothing we can do to prepare for it except for have the name in our foreheads and know the precious and almighty name of Yahweh. All right, and I guess we'll hand it over to Gary.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Gary. I'm checking in here at the end to give you a little information on the flagship that helps to sponsor Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We certainly wish everyone out there in the listening audience were here with us in Andrews, North Carolina, where you could kind of share some of the fellowship, meet some of our people, eat some of the tremendous, delicious food that the ladies are preparing, and get to know what being a child of the King and true Israelite with the truth, with the name in your forehead, really means. We just hope maybe if you couldn't make it this time, we hope maybe you could make it next time. But Miracle 2 is the flagship that I can't say enough about it. We've seen tremendous improvement. I use no other soaps, detergents, shampoos, anything like that. I wash my pets with it. You can wash cars with it. It doesn't hurt the children's eyes, which is a big problem with the hidden ingredients that are found not only in the soaps and the detergents, but in the different home health products that are on the market today. We've seen, as I said before, tremendous improvement. We would love for you to give us a call. You can reach my office at 877-289-7439. You can reach Dr. Jack's number, 1-888-281-7320. If you'd like to get in touch with Pastor Buddy, he's not home right now, but you can get a hold of him at area code 423-626-2172. You can reach him, Buddy, at www.gap.net. You can reach him at Post Office Box 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee, 37824. We love you, Israel. Come see us next year. We'll be on the radio tomorrow night. May Yahweh bless. Shalom.
Praise Yahweh.